This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
Make the right call for the right Medicare Advantage benefits. Go to MedMutual.com/review to schedule your free Medicare plan review with Medical Mutual, Ohio's hometown Medicare insurer.
When you vanish into thin air, where are people supposed to look? When you do everything you're supposed to do, but you can't find them, what else are you supposed to try? All that's left are questions. So what exactly happened to Brandon Swanson? Welcome to another intriguing episode of All Things Mysterious, the podcast where all the realms of true crime, supernatural, and the unexplained converge. I'm your host, Jordan.
I'm Matt.
We're ready to plunge into today's fascinating mysteries. Let's dive right in. Brandon Swanson was a 19-year-old college student at Minnesota West Community and Technical College in Canby, Minnesota. He lived at home with his parents in Marshall, Minnesota, and traveled to and from about 20 miles away to school, and he was pretty close with his family. He had a job at a supermarket for 4 years and was known for being reliable and smart. On May 13th of 2008, Brandon went to a small get-together with friends in Canby, Minnesota, about 30 miles away from his home, to celebrate the end of the school year. An important thing to note is that he was drinking, but no one noted exactly how much he drank, but that he didn't seem drunk. This is where things differ. Some people claim he left around midnight, and some people claim he left as late as 1:30 in the morning. But we do know that he did not take a straight shot home based on the roads that he took back. Somewhere between leaving the party and taking the back roads home, he got his car stuck in a ditch. Around 2 a.m., he called two of his friends for help, but they didn't answer. So he called his parents, told them he'd gotten his car stuck, but he was fine, and described in detail that he was around Lind, Minnesota. So his parents got in the car to come and get him.
I've never heard of this one before.
It's really important to note he was drinking. Now, different people say he was or was not drunk. Now, obviously, he called his parents. His parents are awesome, obviously. It's 2:00 in the morning, and they're like, okay, cool. We're going to come and get you. Sure. This case reminds me a little bit of Bryce Laspisa, a case we did pretty close to when we started the podcast, if I think back on it. But in this case, the parents are like, cool, we're just going to come and get you, and everything's good. So he's describing, like, in very vivid, descriptive detail where he's at. The problem is, he took back roads. Now, we don't know 100% why he took back roads. We're pretty sure it's because he was, like, 19 years old, and he was drinking, and he didn't want to possibly get caught.
Yeah, when you're young, you think cops don't go on the back roads.
Entirely true. The problem was, This is like super, super rural Minnesota. And all of these back roads, it's like gravel and dirt back roads. Okay. It's not like just back roads, like still paved. These were not paved roads by any means. And it just was not working in his favor.
See, this is the thing that I don't understand. Because you said this was 2008?
Yes.
So this is in the smartphone era.
Barely, but yes.
Smartphones at that point have been around for a little bit. Even at that point, iPhones have been out for a year. Because I think they came out in 2007 or 2006.
Yeah. Like I said, barely, but yes.
So I don't understand like how people can go missing and get lost in this day and age.
From what I understand, he grew up in this area. He'd grown up, he lived in it. He was so sure of where he was at. And then from what it looked like, he didn't necessarily crash the car. It was like he was trying to turn around and he just managed to get all four wheels kind of off the ground so that none of them were actually touching. Trying to turn around on a really skinny gravel road. And you don't have any traction, so you can't do anything at that point. You're just stuck.
So it's like when Jordan drives.
No comment. No comment. I've never actually been in that situation before. Is it possible that I probably will be in the future? Probably.
But yeah, I'm interested to learn because I've never heard of this one. But I'm not really big into the missing persons like you are.
Oh, just wait, because this one is bizarre.
That's what you always say. And usually when you say that, it ends up pissing me off.
This one I don't think will, actually. This one's just very mysterious.
I guess that's good.
Brandon was absolutely sure of where he was. They were both flashing their lights to and from each other, describing in detail where they were, but they just could not find each other. So, talking on the phone back and forth, Brandon and his parents come up with a plan to meet at a parking lot in Lind. Brandon was going to walk there, and his dad was going to take his mom back home, then drive to meet Brandon in that parking lot. He was on the phone with his dad, telling him he was cutting through some land instead of following the roads so that he would get there faster, because of course he's walking. He told his dad he crossed two fences, and then his dad heard him say, "Oh shit," and then the phone cut off. Of course, his dad tried calling back, and it rang and rang and went to voicemail, but Brandon never answered.
I don't blame him. I wouldn't answer my phone either. Sorry. Before we started recording, I was scrolling through Facebook and I saw a thing. It said Ghostface is the worst movie villain because he wants to call and talk to you on the phone. And that's accurate.
I agree.
I just hate talking on the phone.
But at the same time, when you are stuck and it's May and it's Minnesota and you're probably really cold and you're really wanting a ride home, it's the middle of the night.
Yeah, but you said May.
Yeah, it's probably still cold.
Minnesota gets warm in the summertime.
I know it does, but it's overnight still. It still gets cold overnight.
My family's from Wisconsin.
I get cold in like 70 degree temps, so that's just me. This guy, he's like 125 pounds. He does not have any extra body fat to keep him warm at all.
I don't know how many times I've come into work and Jordan's got her heater on in the middle of summer.
The office gets cold. Every day it gets cold.
It's 90,000 degrees in there.
Yeah, listen, the rest of us are all freezing. There's something to be said that you are like the one person that's comfortable when the rest of us are freezing.
No, there's other people because I'm not the only one that complains about it being hot in that office during the day.
During the day, sure, but not in the morning. In the morning, it's freezing.
I know, it's great.
You're so weird. Anyway, at this point, it's around 3 a.m. and Brandon's dad calls Brandon's friends to come and help search for him. Keep in mind, they have not been able to get a hold of him at all, and they are not having any luck. At 6:30 that morning, his mom reported him missing to the police, and the police told them it's normal for a college guy to be out all night.
Okay, this goes along the lines of the you have to wait 24 or 48 hours to report someone missing. I watch a bunch of other true crime YouTube videos and stuff, and I see this all the time. People still honestly believe there's a law that you have to wait 48 hours to report someone missing. And if you guys learned anything from our videos, know that that is not the truth. There is no law that says that you have to wait. There is no police policy that says that you have to wait.
Not to mention all of the things that happened in succession before this, you know, the oh shit, and then the phone call dropping, him being out in the middle of nowhere. and walking, admittedly, in the middle of a field, saying that he's crossed a couple of fences and then just being gone and unable to be reached. Like, that in itself, to me, would be like, okay, no, we need to get somebody out here because something's really weird.
Yeah. But, and then here's the other problem. Like, even if you are able to report, you unfortunately can't force the police to do their job. And that's going to be the problem is, in a lot of these cases, it's just the police don't believe that anything's wrong, so they don't even bother investigating. I kind of understand it to a point because I'm sure they get tons of missing person report every day. And then the person will eventually show up. So I get that aspect of it. They don't want to put time into something that waste their time, basically. But on the other hand, that's why a lot of these cases go unsolved, is because they don't have the police response that they should.
100%.
The longer it takes them to start an investigation, the more it's going to miss something.
Well, the good news is I have good news coming up.
I don't know. Your good news is usually never good.
Luckily, his parents pushed really hard and got the police to actually look, and the sheriff was able to get his cell phone records. Around 12:30, the next day, kind of the same day, police found that he wasn't near Lind at all, like he thought he was. He was actually closer to Taunton, Minnesota. So he was not anywhere near he thought he was. Once they found that he wasn't where he was at all, they found his car, with all the doors open, in a ditch. Again, the car was fine, just none of the wheels could touch the ground, so he was stuck. And they could not find any footprints leading away from the car to determine which direction he had gone.
You got a weird idea for good news.
The good news is they pushed really hard and got the authorities to actually look into it instead of just being like, he's a college kid, he's just out. That was the good news.
I guess. I mean, they still didn't find anything, really.
They got cell phone records, which is pretty good considering that only took a couple of hours. And they found the car, which is saying something, because otherwise they would have been looking. I mean, this is like a 20-mile difference. So considering that Brandon thought he was in Lind, it's like a 20-mile difference north and south. It's a completely different area. And he was going completely the other way. So he was somehow very either disoriented. Maybe he was more intoxicated than everybody thought, which is really weird because, like I said, he was on the phone with his dad for a total of like 47 minutes. And his dad seemed to think he was completely sober and fine. And it's just really odd to me that somehow he would be that disoriented to be that turned around in a place where he knew where he was, and yet he didn't.
I mean, it's definitely possible. Especially back roads where there's not a whole lot of street signs and landmarks.
This is true. And it is all farmland up there for the most part. And I mean, from what I gather, it all kind of looks exactly the same.
Yeah. If anybody's from around here and have ever been to the city of Jasper, you know how easily it would be to get turned around. But it seems like he just got lost. Like I said, I've never heard of this case before. I assume since you're doing it, it's just a missing person. So they probably haven't found a body.
Nope.
That's always the weirdest thing to me. I get that it's probably in the middle of nowhere, but most likely he's on somebody's land, and you would think that at some point someone would find it.
Yeah, we will get into more of that here in a little bit, but it's just so bizarre because this happened in 2008 and nothing has happened since then. We're about to get into the search efforts here in a minute. Authorities led multiple searches outward from the car, starting on foot, and obviously got search and rescue dogs and cadaver dogs. At one point, a search dog found his scent and followed it to the Yellow Medicine River, then jumped back out, and further on in the trees, the trail was lost. The search has been going strong for years, but nothing of Brandon's, aside from his car, has ever been found. So, when I say they led searches, the official search, quote unquote, stopped like 10 days after he went missing. And then a private search took that up and they like searched. Okay. They drained parts of the river. They had sonar. They had drones. They have searched for this kid. Searched. And a lot of people believe that because that one dog kind of went into the river and then went back out, that he fell into the river and drowned. And that was like the oh shit. Like, maybe he fell into the river, got carried away. They have searched, like, most of this river at this point. people are pretty sure at some point, like, they would find an article of clothing, his body, something, some part of him, you would think. But nothing has ever turned up. Literally nothing. For like 16 years. Nothing has ever been found at all. So to me, that's kind of where the mystery is in this one, especially aside from the fact that he's missing. But yes, the search dogs tracked his scent to a very specific place, and yet he's just gone right from that spot. It's bizarre. Not to mention the oh shit and then the hanging up of the phone or the phone call ending somehow. We aren't sure of that. There was also some sort of sound on the phone that his dad couldn't identify, whether it be like a slip or a fall of some sort. The thing is, in interviews, his dad didn't say it sounded like a panicked oh shit, if that makes sense. Otherwise, he probably would have panicked a lot more. It just kind of sounded like, oh, shit. I don't know. I don't know how else to say it.
But here's the thing. Being out in the woods by yourself or wilderness by yourself, at that point, it's life-threatening.
Oh, I agree. But to Brandon, it probably wouldn't be in his head at that moment.
And that's why I don't understand. There's been many cases like this where someone breaks down or something, and then they leave their car. And then ultimately, their car is the only thing that's found. Probably should never leave your car.
I have to agree with you on that.
Of course, we don't know what happened. So we don't know if he had to leave, if there was a reason why, or he was just drunk and just not thinking clearly.
According to him, if we were to believe everything he was saying on the phone with his dad, he believed he was walking towards Lind. In reality, he was most likely walking towards a city called Porter. And he was like, okay, dad, you are insane because you can't find me right now. Because, you know, you're a teenager. You're like, wow, I can't believe you can't find me. Whatever, I will walk this direction and you can come get me because clearly you can't find me. We've all been smartass teenagers.
If you have two choices between walking through the woods and following a road, you should always follow a road.
Clearly, but apparently he'd had some drinks. Maybe we weren't thinking all that clearly.
I'm trying to think what would cause him to decide to walk through the woods rather than following the road. Because obviously, even back roads, eventually somebody's going to be driving on it.
I don't know, man. That's one of those things that gets me with this one. Because, like, I get it. The only thing I can think of is he was just trying to cut time. He was tired and wanted to go home and made a stupid kid mistake.
While the world whizzes by, enjoy a moment of me time with Tim Horton's $6 breakfast bundle. Savor a small hot or iced coffee, then add your choice of a mouth-watering hot breakfast sandwich and a crispy golden hash brown and your pick of a classic donut.
Yeah.
All for $6, all just for you. Make your mornings all about me time with our $6 breakfast bundle. Available at your neighborhood Tim Hortons. Price and participation vary. Terms apply.
Okay, so getting into the theories. I'm only going to cover the major ones because there are probably hundreds, but here are the big ones. Theory number one. Brandon obviously cut through all the farmland and fell into the river and drowned and somehow was just never found.
Very, very possible and honestly probably likely.
But I feel like at some point with a state of natural decay over time, some of his clothes would at least wash up at some point.
There's no saying that they haven't. People just don't realize it.
You have a point. That's true. The biggest thing I have about this theory is that authorities and searchers don't actually believe that he fell into it and drowned. They believe that something else happened to him for whatever reason. I don't know if they're just gung-ho about all the sonar and everything else from the river that they did, but they don't believe that he is in the river.
I get it. But here's the thing. There's been many times we talked about cases before where cops were convinced a person died of natural causes or suicide. When we looked at it, obviously it was murder.
We probably will never know.
Probably. I think so far, obviously it's the first one, but definitely the most plausible.
Theory number two. While walking, Brandon fell asleep in a field and was accidentally ran over the next morning by farm equipment and killed. To protect themselves, the owner and or worker of the farm equipment hid his body.
This one's just stupid.
I agree, but I saw it enough to where I had to include it. Because apparently there are a couple of farms up there that have refused to allow them to search the land.
Well, that's probably because they're just growing weed or something.
I mean, probably. But at the same time, especially if a lot of them hire illegal workers or anything along those lines, I can see why people may not want people looking through the farm. But the thing is, farm equipment is extremely, extremely loud and bright and giant, and you can like feel it in the earth. I just don't see you staying asleep, even if you're drunk enough to be run over by it.
I'm just trying to think of a reason why, let's say they did run him over and kill them. What would be the reason to hide it?
The motivation behind that would be if it was some sort of illegal worker.
This is not part of it, but it's something that I think we should all acknowledge. All farms hire illegal workers.
Pretty much.
It's kind of one of those things that people don't want to admit, but still, I don't see a reason why they would. Because even if it was an illegal worker driving the machine, all you would have to say was that the farmer was driving it.
If it's an accident, it's an accident.
If it's an accident and then you hide the body, you're kind of making yourself look bad.
By a lot.
And actually, that's a crime in itself. So even if you don't get prosecuted for killing him, you could still get prosecuted for trying to hide the body.
Yep.
I understand that human behavior is stupid sometimes, and there probably would be someone who would try to hide the body. Just don't understand. And that's why, honestly, to me, this one doesn't make sense.
No, it's not my favorite theory at all. I saved my favorite theory for last.
Even if that did happen, somebody would know, and eventually somebody would turn him in. Because most people can't keep something like that hidden forever.
No, and it's been so many years. Someone would have said something by now, I think.
Two people can keep a secret if one of them's dead.
Yep, I agree. Are you ready for theory number three? He was abducted by aliens because he was there and then he wasn't.
By far my favorite theory.
I knew you'd like this one.
So, we talked about this before. Obviously, I believe that there are aliens. The part that I'm not 100% on is if aliens have actually been here. Although I kind of wish they were, because then they could help Jordan open the bottle that she's struggling to open.
I need caffeine.
I'm trying to talk here and I just see Jordan trying to open her bottle.
I'm trying to be quiet.
And the look on her face. I honestly wish I would record this because it is just hilarious.
I got it, by the way.
After about 5 minutes.
I was trying to not make noise.
I believe they're aliens. I don't know if they've ever been here. I think half the abduction stories that are out there are BS. However, it makes sense if someone disappeared that they were abducted. Because to me, if there is an alien abduction, it makes more sense to me that they would take somebody and never return them. Because it does not make sense that they would take someone and then return them, because that leaves a witness.
I feel like they would return me if they had me, because they'd be like, God, you're annoying. Take it back.
I don't know. I think they would abduct you and then be like, we didn't know there was one of us living on this planet already.
Also fair.
I believe that if there is alien abductions, that it would be people that just never reappear, because that makes the most sense to me. Because if I was going to abduct someone, I would not want to release them just to be a witness. Now, disclaimer, I would never, ever, ever, ever abduct anybody.
No, but you have to think about these things when you're thinking over the theories and stuff. I get it. But I'm with you. I don't personally think it was aliens, but that's just me, because I like my last theory.
I like the first one better.
I think you'll like my last one, to be honest.
No. I don't know. Every time you say that, I don't like it.
That's fair. You never like my theories. You're so mean to me.
Oh, don't worry. I even forgot about the grading system. I'm waiting until you get all the theories done before I do that.
Huh. Dang it. I'm going to get negative Z's again.
Yeah, don't worry. Stay tuned. After Jordan's last theory, I'll grade all these.
Great. Theory number four. Brandon was hit by a car. This is similar to the farm equipment theory. The operator of the car then hid the body out of fear.
Is this your last theory?
This is theory four. I have five. I have one more after this. This is not my favorite theory.
Yet. I was hoping not, because I was going to be severely disappointed. So I could just copy and paste exactly what I said about the last one.
It's too similar to me to the farm equipment theory, not to mention the fact that, according to Brandon, if we are believing what he said when he was on the phone with his dad, he was cutting through farmland. He was not on a road. So, like, where's the car coming from?
I don't know, Jordan.
Shut your face. But according to that, if we're going by what he said, he's not on a road. The car's hopefully not in the middle of basically the woods. It doesn't make a lot of sense. Now, granted, dogs can be wrong. They can be flawed. They can be following an incorrect scent trail and it could have happened on the road, whatever. I get this. And it is possible. Maybe somebody else was out driving super drunk that night and they were doing the same thing Brandon was doing and hiding more or less from the police. It makes a little more sense to me than the farm equipment theory, because maybe they're like flying through these back roads, don't see Brandon walking along the road, hit him, panic because they're drunk. The problem with this one is there's going to be some sort of evidence somewhere, and there's not.
Without looking at like satellite footage of where the river and everything, where they think he went in, or at least where the dogs hinted at, maybe.
It was approximately 2 miles as the crow flies.
But my point is, if you follow it, I'm sure eventually it probably comes to another road.
Not exactly. It's kind of weird. I'll have to show you on a map.
He could have maybe made it to another road. Because obviously when you're walking, you're not going to walk in a complete straight line.
Especially over farmland like that. Yeah.
You're going to end up going in different directions. It's very easily to get turned around without even realizing that.
There's trees in your way. There are fences in your way. You're going to have to go over this fence, around this tree, and you're not going to be walking in a complete straight line, especially if that river that he had to more or less go through to get to where he was supposedly going.
Again, we won't know, which is why I don't think this theory is plausible. But we'll see your last theory. Hopefully it's better than this one.
I like it more.
Well, that doesn't tell me if it's better or not.
Rude. Theory number 5. My personal favorite, and to me the one that makes the most sense. While talking to his dad on the phone, he fell into either a well, a sinkhole, or a cave, and either died inside or from the fall, never to be found again.
Don't worry, Jordan. I'll go through and remove all indications that this is your favorite episode or favorite theory.
I like this theory. This one makes sense to me because this would be a really easy way for him to not be found because it's a tiny little area that would be difficult to find.
So here's my other problem with it, though. Let's say that's what happened. That's what the OSHA was about. Why didn't his dad hear the sounds of the phone falling? Even before it disconnects. You're going to hear, and I don't know if you've ever heard somebody drop their phone while you're talking to them.
Well, that's the thing. He did hear a sound, but then the phone disconnected.
You would hear a lot before the phone disconnected. Something that would be distinctive as the phone falling. Because even before the phone actually touches anything, you're going to have the wind going past.
No, it makes a lovely little noise, and it's horribly loud, and etc.
Yeah.
But his dad did say it made some sort of like slip and fall noise of some sort.
I don't know.
The problem is, over the years, his dad has like thought about that sound so many times over that he's like, he can't remember the exact sound anymore. He's distorted it in his mind. No. And I can understand that entirely.
I can too. So anyways, going on to the grading system. First theory.
Negative Z's, I'm aware. All around.
I'll give that one a C.
That's like an A+ to you.
Not C. C as in S-E-A.
Pew.
Second theory is the farm.
Yep.
I'll give that soybean because nobody likes soybeans.
You're so mean to me.
Third theory, I'll give that one A for aliens.
Fair.
And then the car. I'll give that one an R for realism just because it has happened before. And then last theory, I'll give that one a deep dark Minecraft reference.
You're so weird. I can't with you, seriously.
I love that my grading system only makes sense in my head.
It really does, though. I'm going to continue my color grading system for your next episode. It only makes sense in my head.
I was thinking about making like a shirt with my grading system on it, but I don't think I could fit that on one shirt.
No, you can't.
We'd have to have like a set, the Jordan grading system, where all theories are bad.
For 16 years, Brandon Swanson has been missing. We may never know what happened, but we do know people don't just vanish. Brandon, or his body, is still out there. We just have to figure out the mystery. Thank you for joining us on this journey through all things mysterious. Your engagement is what makes this so rewarding. If you've enjoyed uncovering these mysteries with us, please show your support by liking, subscribing, and following us on your favorite listening platform. For more intriguing content and ways to stay connected, don't forget to check us out on our links in the description below. Your involvement is the key to unlocking more thrilling mysteries.
As always, we keep you guessing.
Connection is a healthy and essential aspect of our daily lives. From a warm hug after a hard day to kind words just when we need them, these gentle moments give us an understanding of life's true meaning. But when the ability to connect is interrupted by the hustle of daily life and to-do lists pile up next to the worry of who needs school supplies, sometimes making decisions about our health and the well-being of our loved ones can take a back seat. When it comes to those we care for, vaccines are one of the greatest public health success stories, and along with other measures, are one way to help prevent certain diseases. At Merck, we envision communities where families, healthcare providers, local organizations, and advocates work together. Health equity happens when every person, regardless of age and ethnicity, in every community, has fair access to healthcare, including the vaccines they need. For more information, please visit whyvaccines.com.
While the world whizzes by, enjoy a moment of me time with Tim Horton's $6 breakfast bundle. Savor a small hot or iced coffee, then add your choice of a mouth-watering hot breakfast sandwich and a crispy golden hash brown and your pick of a classic donut.
Yeah.
All for $6, all just for you. Make your mornings all about me time with our $6 breakfast bundle. Available at your neighborhood Tim Hortons. Price and participation vary. Terms apply.